Happy Sabbath, George. God bless you. The Bible, through the Bible, God gave us a lot of beautiful promises. And one of them is that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. So that means that any moment when we pray, it's for sure that God hears. Amen. So this is a very precious moment, important moment for us. And it's time, if you want to come forward, or you can stay, and we want to pray all together. And we have to be sure that God is going to hear us. Magnificent revealing of your love for your church as we read in the Bible. We also are so grateful for understanding that what happened in the past and how you have a plan of salvation for even before the foundation of the world. We thank you that Jesus has made a way for us of escape. He not only lived in this earth, he died for us and rose. And now he's ministering for us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And soon, very soon, he will come to take us home. Please, Eternal Father, by faith and grace and for your steadfast love, we claim that victory for ourselves through the righteousness of Christ. Lord God, please let us reveal the light to those who are seeking to walk in your ways, the light of your word. And may all the glory go only to you. Oh God, please keep your children well and healthy, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. Your word says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if they commit sins, they will be forgiven. Please, God, incline your ear to hear our prayer and forgive us of our sins. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Today's scripture will be in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverbs, a dog turneth on his own vomit, and so having washed the rolling in the mire. Amen.
Good morning, church, and happy Sabbath. I don't know how many of you have noticed that I've been having trouble with my voice. And this week I was about to call Heidi and tell her, I'm sorry I won't be able to sing. But you know what? As I reflect on the lyrics, I realize it's not about my voice. It's about the message that God wants to give us. And this beautiful song talks about how without deserving God's love, he's always there for us. We have done anything to deserve it. And he's always trying to find us, and he's always trying to reach us. So if you know the song, sing with me.
What have I Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And happy Sabbath to all of you.
Yes, sir.
It's good to see all your faces, but I know there's a couple faces that we haven't seen for a while, so not to point anyone out per se, but good to see you guys. You're always welcome to here. This morning I'm having actually a kind of a hard time with my energy levels. Normally you know me to be like, in fact, I make people nervous by just walking, right? And more than a few people have told me that here and when I used to work for my university and other churches, they're like, just when you just walk, you just make me anxious. But today, I don't know, I'm struggling with my energy. So the message may be a little bit more laid back, but keep me in prayer as well. So I will be able to share God's word. In fact, let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as Jocelyn has said, it's not about the voice, but it's the words of the song, a special song that we have just heard that's really the true blessing. And Father, and I would say, at this time, it's not about the man sharing the word. It's ultimately, it's your word that's the blessing. So, Father, I ask that even though I may feel deficient in so many ways, that you would turn this clay and mold me in your hand so that I may up here share the words that you would have me to speak. And I would do it not my own strengths or power or wisdom, but Lord, grant me your Holy Spirit so that I may speak your words. And Lord, even though I stand up here sharing your word, at the end of the day, no human being can change another person's heart. That's your territory, God. Only you can change and impact people's lives. So, Father, I ask you that the Holy Spirit will be abiding with us today in this simple message that people will be drawn to you and that people will go away having experienced the presence of God in this place. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. Would you please bless us? We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I have some key words to for the kids. And Valerie came up here and told me, usually I gave them a printed out worksheet, and they just fill in the question blanks or just answer questions, but today is a blank sheet. And she goes, I won't say who told her that, but she was like, someone said you were being lazy, you gave us a blank sheet of paper. sorry about that. But today's key words are two words. You ready? It's foolish dog. Foolish dog. Does anyone here keep a prayer journal? Raise your hand if you keep a prayer journal. Anyone? I see one, two, three, and Divya raise her hand. So, you know, I'm not actually much of a prayer journal person, but I do journal now and then. This one that I hold in my hand, I've had since 1998, and that's like before some of you were even born, right? But maybe it even goes further than that. For some reason, sometimes I have ripped out some pages. I don't know exactly what that means. You can interpret that to mean whatever you want. But I have cut out some pages, but for the most part, I have kept on and off many prayer journals, but this one I have had since 1998, and I have journaled just sporadically here and there. Like I said, I'm not a big journaler, but just recently I've been journaling my prayers again. So what I do when I journal my prayers is, now I don't just list the prayers that I prayed about, but I actually reflect on my experience with God while I was praying. In fact, some of the greatest revelation of myself, of who I am, like my motivations and my weaknesses, my strengths, my wrong perceptions of God, they all came while I was in prayer. And so I believe prayer is just this amazing, powerful thing. And as I look, as I went back and to look into my prayer journals, and this is going back all the way to college, right? Like, as I reflect on that, I find myself being also, one, being grateful, because even though sometimes I didn't realize it, God has actually answered, like, our prayers. It took time, and I won't give you specifics because this is ultimately private prayer. But I see like me reflecting about, I prayed for such and such family member, and at that time I felt so desperate, right? It felt like hopeless. But then as I look back upon my life today, that person's in the church today. That person has a good relationship with Jesus today, and I had totally forgotten that I prayed for that person. So we have a God that answers prayers. But I also noticed that I've grown as a person. We would hope that we grow as individuals, right, in our walk with God. And I can see, even looking back at my prayer requests, how I have grown as a Christian, as a son of God. And this, most of this stuff was actually before I was a pastor. So I see growth there, but you know what I also notice? Oftentimes, I pray for the same things over and over again. Like, I haven't learned from the first time, right? Like in 98, I might pray for A, then 5 years later, like, I'm praying for the same thing. Have you ever had that experience where you kind of seem to make the same mistakes over again? Have you ever told yourself, today will be a different day from yesterday, but find yourself making the same things, mistakes over, and doing the same things that very next day? You're trying to make you're trying to make positive changes in your life, but you seem to be in this hole you just can't get out of. And you know the right thing to do. You know what you're supposed to be doing, but you just can't find yourself doing it. Maybe you told yourself, I will spend more time with God today. And the day goes by and you have spent no time or very little time with Jesus. Maybe you would say, today is the day I start exercising and being more fit in my life. Then it ends up that you have eaten more junk food than any other day, right? And you skipped your day of exercise. Have you ever regretted the choices that you have made that day? But and knowing that it wasn't the best experience, it was a terrible experience, and it was actually a bitter experience, yet you find yourself repeating the same mistakes again. Perhaps for some of you, you've always said, you know what, I just work too much. And I spend too little time with God and my family. Today is going to be a different day. But nothing changes. Or maybe you've tried to stop wasting time on Facebook or YouTube and Instagram or some other social media. We can kill like hours and hours a day that just wasting away our minds and our time and our talents, just gorging ourselves on social media stuff. Have you ever noticed, like, when you're watching a video or social media, it feels like you watch one video for 1 minute, and you look at the watch, it's like 2 hours. Perhaps it is a particular sinful habit that we struggle with that we can't seem to break. Proverbs 26:11 says this. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool that repeats his folly. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. As many of you know, when a dog vomits, and you know, most of you probably know that I really love dogs, but I also have my limits. Like when I see a dog eating up their own vomit, it's not an appetizing sight. It's pretty gross. And you know that when a dog vomits, oftentimes right there on the spot, they will actually lick it right back up. Pretty gross. My sister just got a new dog puppy, and she's been waiting for like 2 years, like researching, and it's such a cute dog. But as a puppy, when they walk her outside, as soon as she poops, if you're not careful, we look the other way, she just eats it right back up, and it's pretty gross. But this is kind of the picture that God is painting when he says, when he's quoting the proverb, a dog that returns to a vomit, when it vomits it back up, is a very gross sight. And actually, I think that's the point of it, right? When we go back to our own mistakes, our own follies, our own sins, and when we return to it over and over again, is as if we are going back to our vomit and eating it over and over again. As disgusting as that may seem, I think that's what it's supposed to. That's the image that we're supposed to get. As a dog returns to his vomit, so too we return to our folly. 2 Peter 2:22 actually quotes Proverbs, but it adds an element to that. It says, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or a pig has, having washed, to our wallowing in the mire. So basically, kids, if you don't know what that means, it just means a pig, even if you wash it, will always return to the mud. I remember reading Uncle Arthur's bedtime story. If you grew up Adventist, anyone going to remember Uncle Arthur's bedtime story, those brown books? And I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but I still read that as a teenager, early in my teenagers, not college years. But even in my early teenagers, I still read those stories because there were fascinating stories and they were true stories. I remember reading about one of those Uncle Arthur bedtime stories, how these two kids who lived on a farm, and one day they had this great idea that they had the pig that they had on their farm, he became messy and it was wallowing in the mud, decided, I'm going to do mom and dad a favor and I'm going to wash the pig. And these two little kids took the pig and the hose and soap, and they washed him clean and made him as clean as it can be. And if I remember the story, they even put a little perfume on the pig. And they're like, wow, clean pig. But as soon as they let the pig go into the farm again, guess where the pig returned to? To the mud. Because the mud is something that the pig is comfortable with. Mud is something that the pig desires. The mud is something it's ingrained into the pig. It's in its nature to return to the mud. Likewise, human beings are similar in that sense. Even though we may clean ourselves up outwardly or even try to correct our behavior outwardly, right? But at the very nature, it's our nature to return to the mud. We like the mud. And we want to go back to the mud. So it doesn't really matter how much we clean ourselves up on the outside or try to correct outward behavior, we will always want to return to the mud. So Peter says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, and the cow, having washed, returning to her to the mud. So where does that leave us? You know, I can list probably a whole bunch of things, but usually we don't remember more than two or three things that that we say up here. So I'm going to just give you three things that has helped me to basically overcome this pitfall of making the same mistake over and over again. And kids, this is your duty. In your own words, I want you to give me those three things that I list, right? I'm going to give them one, two, and three. And they're not going to be very hard, all right? So just give me a general a title or just general, just what's that? A summary, one sentence summary of what each point is, all right? Number one, avoid the use of your phone when you first wake up. And I'm not going to ask your hands to say how many people do that, but for most Americans, Alan already raised his hand, but most Americans, they sleep with their phone really close to them, and the first thing that they wake up is we look at our phones. Most Americans, statistically, within the first 15 minutes of waking up, will turn to their phones. And there's scientific reasons why this is actually a somewhat detrimental to your spiritual life. Our brain's electrical activity can be measured as brain waves. In fact, there are five types of brain waves. I'm going to list three of them today. When we are sleeping, our brain waves is basically it's the slowest, as in, and we call it the delta wave. That happens when we sleep. So let me see if I have that up here. Yes. Sleep state. Secondly, when soon as you wake up, you go into a theta stage or state. That's basically very similar to when you daydream, or have you ever driven on the road for miles and you're like, well, what happened to the last 5 miles, right? You just don't remember that. It's kind of like the that's the theta stage. But when you first wake up, that's the your mind shift, your brain actually shifts into theta. And scientists say this is a stage where you have a heightened sense of intuition. Like this is where the people feel inspired. They feel that they have a spiritual connection. But also, importantly, physically, it's where the reduction of mental fatigue, mental anxiety, and stress occurs. That's where the reduction of your fatigue and anxiety and stress happens, in the theta stage. Finally, the third one, there's five, but we'll only do three. The next stage after that is the alpha stage. This is similar to when you, after you take a like a task and you take a break, your mind kind of just wants to relax. That's kind of the alpha stage. And the reason why the alpha stage is important is it's the stage where you have one of the clearest mental clarity. It's where you tend to process information, where you start to get motivated, where you feel start to be inspired, even creative. And this is also where anxiety is reduced. And this is the moment that our brains are highly suggestible. So when we go straight to our phones in the morning, did you know that we go from delta, we skip the theta, we skip the alpha, go straight into the beta stage, which is basically your normal daily activity, right? And so you're missing out on all those blessings. Now, those throughout the day, you always have some data, alpha, you have all of them throughout the day. But basically, in those stages, the primary focus are those brain waves in that stage. So when we go straight to our phones, we miss out on those opportunities of the theta and alpha waves, which results, in fact, when you do the research, Business Insider, Wall Street Journal, all these business magazines, they tell you not to actually look at your phone for multiple reasons. One is scientifically, there's a scientific connection. When you look at your phone right in the morning, it causes more stress, more anxiety, and depression, and giving you the data, now we know why. Direct correlation between just turning to your phone straight in the morning. The data and alpha stages also helps set our goals, our priorities, and allows us to focus on what is important. So it's important that we don't skip on those stages, and when we go to a direct source of bright light, we skip those stages. So starting the day by staring to an electronic device, your phone, TV, or iPad, whatever it is, it also releases dopamine. And what that does is that it kind of like gives you the experience of pleasure. So it's kind of like addicting in many ways. And once we do that, our brains start craving those things. And throughout the day, knowing that you receive that dopamine by going here, you're unconsciously, you will continue to want to go here, 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 here. And that's why oftentimes you just can't stop looking at your phone, whatever you're doing. Sometimes it doesn't even matter what you're doing. It could be like just nothing, like news and stuff. But like if we actually count the number of hours that each American actually spends on their time on their phone, I guarantee you probably be, besides work, probably number one, and sleep, it will be the number one on our lists. And here's what's important. Neuroscientists actually say that our brains can be sculpted and molded, even when we're older, and much of that actually happens in the morning. They call it neuroplasticity. Number two, so the first one is don't avoid the use of your phone when you first wake up. And there's a spiritual reason too, and that's going to be our number two reason. What's the number two reason? Start off the day with prayer. When we go straight to our phone, we're missing the best time to connect with God in prayer. I used to teach this. Just find the day, part of the day in which you have time to pray with God. I have stopped sharing that because I realized the best time of the day to connect with God is in the morning. Jesus did it. The Bible says that he woke up early in the morning and he prayed in his corner someplace, in the garden someplace, because he understood that in order to be successful in that day, in order to be victorious in what God has called him to do, he needed to connect with God the Father because that was the source of his strength, of his victory. And if Jesus needed to do that, how much more so do we need to start the day with prayer so that we may be connected with the source that will of heaven that will ultimately give us the victory, that will give us the instructions how to go about your day. If we are not, the Bible said that we are not our own, right? If we are not our own, we must receive instructions and guidance from God in the morning, each and every single day. Otherwise, how do you know if you're doing God's will? Morning time, during the alpha and, morning time during the theta and alpha time, it's some of the best times in which we can connect with God. So start the day with prayer. Let your minds be sculpted and molded by spending time in the presence of God. Let God give you the spiritual focus that you need to start off that day. Have you wondered why we are so unsuccessful in terms of praying? It's probably one of the easiest things to do, But in essence, practically speaking, it's one of the hardest things that we do. And I've always often thought about why that is. Could it be that the devil is afraid of Christians that pray? So the illusion is that the delusion is that we don't need prayer. And the misconception is that it's you can be successful in a victorious Christian walk without praying. But I would say it is an impossibility to walk with God without prayer. And the more I pray, the more I realize I need to pray more. And the more I pray, I realize I've been doing it wrong in the sense that so many times I try to gain victory for my determination, just gutting it out. Or I try to do the Lord's work because I'm too busy doing the Lord's work. I pray so little. I realized all of that was foolishness. Because ultimately, if this is God's work, it must be done through His power, through His Spirit. Doesn't matter how much a pastor works or how much you work for your family, strive for your family to grow in Jesus. If we're not praying for them, it's mainly salvation by your works and not something that God is doing. So my second simple advice, start of the day was prayer without fail. Ellen White says this, no one is safe with not even an hour or a minute without prayer. It's kind of somewhat of a paraphrase, but it's almost exact. Not 1 hour, not 1 minute are we safe without prayer. There's no other time in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say read scriptures without ceasing, right? But scriptures does say pray without ceasing. So number one, It's avoid the use of your phone because that sets the wrong tone starting the day. It wastes valuable time in which you can draw closer to God. Secondly, it's actually start your day with prayer. And third, take immediate action. You know, sometimes when we hear a sermon or read scriptures, or pray, God impresses a certain way that we must take action in our life. But we often say, you know what? I'll do it tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, like you get busy and then you say, I'll do it the next day. Next day turns into 2 days and 3 days and a week. And that the conviction that you've experienced now starts to fade. Scripture says this. And that's pretty small. So let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22, 23, and 24. James chapter 1. Scripture says this. But prove yourself doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. It sounds silly, but the principle is there in this sense that oftentimes when you study God's word, when you hear a message, whatever, you have a conviction that God wants you to do something in your life, to make changes in your life. But when you go away, if you don't put it to action right away, you will start to forget. And that conviction diminishes. So there's no better time than the immediate presence. Don't wait. Take action. Be a doer of God's words at that moment. Otherwise, the reality is most likely it would never happen. Bible puts it, it's like a man who sees himself in the mirror and forgets when he's gone away. So those are the three that I would like to leave with you. One, don't start with your phone. because we often make that out to be our God. The reality, it is, right? We spend more time with that thing. And why am I so adamant about that? Because we're all in the same boat, right? I used to sleep with my phone right next to my pillow. Probably bad for radiation, but you know that's in the past, right? There's nothing I can do about that. But what I can do about is I purposely try to put my phone further away, because when I wake up in the morning, I don't want to start with this. I want to start with Jesus. So put your phone away in the morning. Start with prayer, and whatever God convicts you of, just take immediate actions. Those are the three things that kind of has helped me in my journey with God. And I'm not saying I don't make any more mistakes. I make plenty of mistakes. But I have found if I follow these principles in my life, it actually has helped me tremendously. And like I said in the beginning, the greatest revelation of who I am has come to me as I was praying in the Lord in the morning, where he has revealed things about myself, some usually bad, but that's okay. Because that's because God wants to bring us higher. So those are my three recommendations. I hope they're helpful to you, and I pray that it will help you in your walk with God, so that you may walk closer with him and that you may live a victorious life in Christ. Thank you, guys. God bless you.